Hello, sexies. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play. And I am Taylor Sparks, your host and sex goddess for the evening. We are here for the purposes of educating, entertaining, and informing you in all areas of sexuality, sexual health, kink, relationships, and the business of sex. Today's episode is sponsored by OrganicLovin.com for your best organic intimate body products. I am most excited about my next guest as I am every week about a guest, but this one is extra special. But before I bring her on, let me give you a little bit about her. Alexandra Habushka's life was sent into upheaval when she received a call from her doctor diagnosing her with herpes. Shaking, feeling like her life, her goals, happiness, and desires had all just gone up in smoke. She was left scared, shitless, and with a new mission to share her story with people just like her and to let them know that their feelings are normal, natural, and that they are not victims. With that mission in mind, she founded Life with Herpes, an online community consisting of a podcast, a website, YouTube channel, wellness products to support the skin condition, and an online community that provides support, all dedicated to shattering the stigma of living with herpes. Before founding Life with Herpes and becoming a mother to her son, Clinton, and a wife to her husband, Bill, Alexandra worked in corporate America with roles ranging from Ralph Lauren to selling new home construction to being a mortgage loan officer. Her education includes a bachelor's degree from the University of Arizona, bear down to my, my fellow Wildcats, a postgraduate certificate in ministry, and is currently working on a master's in theology. She is also an ordained minister and provides ministry counseling. Alexandra, welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You got lots of things going on.
I know. I was like, wow, there's a lot going on in my introduction here.
I see. It's good. Listen, I was saying right before the show, I was excited to have you because you are covering health and wellness and sexual health and wellness. And this is, you know, something that is dear to me. I do it on the side of, you know, helping people to have more healthy sexual relationships. And the first question that comes to mind, when you decided that this was your mission and you decided to do a website, a community, a podcast, yep, a YouTube channel, how many people were like, well, you don't have to call it Life with Herpes or Living with Herpes. You can't you call it something else? Like,
oh my goodness.
Hey, if something is going wrong.com. Like,
yep, I know, right? Because the word herpes is so, like, it's so shocking. It's so polarizing. It's so, it just gives you the heebie-jeebies is when you hear the word herpes. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, there's no way to beat around the bush. And that's one of the reasons why herpes is so stigmatizing is because we have made it a creepy, disgusting thing when it's really ironic considering the majority of the population has it. Mm. So, it's very interesting that we have created it and we have branded it and made it this awful stigmatized thing.
Yeah. So did they tell you don't do that? Don't. And did, I mean, was it a fight with anybody in particular? Were you married at the time or you were not married at the time?
I was not, I was engaged. Mm-hmm. And my husband was the one who encouraged me to do this. He was like, you need to do, like, I was asked to a podcast conference in early 2017. And I had this whole presentation put together about something completely different. And I practiced it in front of my husband and he's like, you need to talk about having herpes. And I was like, yeah, I can't do this. Right. I'm not going to go on stage in front of hundreds of people and tell the stage. And at this time it was being streamed, which was new back in 2017. And I was like, I'm not going to go like thousands of people and tell them I have herpes. And he said, but that's who you are. And you want to help people. So
right,
I think
right,
you should do that. And so I did. And as soon as I did that, I realized people said, wow, I have it too. And have never shared. Right. Or I don't have herpes, but I'm dealing with XYZ. I have my own story of this.
Okay.
So,
huh. So what did you start with the website first or the Facebook community first?
Podcasts. Oh. And I had to have, of course, a landing page first. I mean, I had to coincide, sure, but yes, I decided to start with a podcast thinking it would be behind the scenes. People would be a little bit, feel more comfortable maybe researching a podcast than anything else. And what I ended up doing is I ended up recording as we are right now over Zoom. And I would just throw the video up on YouTube. I'm like, I'll just throw it up there. And I just threw it up there for about 6 months to a year. Never looked at it, never anything.
Really?
All of a sudden, yep. And all of a sudden I realized that's where it went. It was people wanted to see me, not necessarily hear me.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Working in the business of sex, mm-hmm. right? I've had my business 10 years now.
Okay.
And the first few years I was like, you know, behind the green curtain, so to speak,
yep.
you know,
and Wizard of Oz
was, yeah. And never had my face like on the banner. I was always mm-hmm. using stock of the photos and videos. And then probably about 3 years in, I'm like, I'm going to be the face of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And just sex in itself has a stigma in the US, let alone, you know, and then when you add in the health and wellness and you should use condoms. And I was welcomed, fortunately, into the swinger community okay. where you have a lot of people who are having sex with others. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this is good protection and don't use the chemicals. It weakens your immune system. And, you know, so I had to be public
yep.
to say to people and say, hey, and I'm also in the lifestyle and my husband and I are swingers and, you know, and it was like,
yeah. right. Scary.
Right. I lost a few friends, you know. I mean, you probably your friends stay when you say, I've got herpes. Like, oh, say you're a swinger, they're like,
oh. I can imagine.
Yeah. So tell the people, and I would like to assume that most people who listen to my podcast are already adults, but what is some and know something about herpes and the two strengths?
Two types,
the two types, right? HSV 1 and HSV 2. So you have the oral herpes, and then you have the genital herpes, and the oral mm-hmm. herpes, which people have somebody decided one day we're just going to call it a what do they call it?
Cold sore, fever.
A
blister.
Cold sore, right. Someone gave it a fancy name like cold sore. And it was like, I think I got a cold sore, and like I don't know how that came about or who coined mm-hmm. that phrase, but I guess it sounded better than herpes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell people, if you will, the differences between the two. Can you have both at the same time? Does one lead to the other or not necessarily, and how that all works?
Okay, little herpes 101. I love this because yes. there's so many misconstrued thoughts and old things that maybe we haven't been updated and taboos and things of that nature. So I feel like everybody has heard the word herpes. It's been in, you know, it's in movies, it's in jokes. It's like, oh, you don't want to get herpes or, you know, all those things. And so just to give us a little update, herpes is extremely common. So 2 out of 3 people have HSV 1, which is considered herpes type 1, HSV 1, or oral herpes.
Okay.
So 2 out of 3 people actually have that. And 1 out of 6 statistically have HSV 2, which is commonly associated with genital herpes.
Okay.
So roughly 67% of the population has HSV 1 and 13% has HSV 2. So when you combine
60%,
67% have HSV 1.
Okay. Okay.
And 13% have HSV 2. So roughly we're looking at, if you combine both types, oral and genital, roughly 80% of the population has something. So it's really common. But the thing is, majority of the people are asymptomatic.
Meaning that they have no symptoms.
Correct. 90% of the people with genital herpes will never be diagnosed.
But just because you're asymptomatic doesn't mean that you cannot transfer it. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, you're correct. So there's a lot going on. So yes. So asymptomatic means you don't get symptoms, or maybe you had your initial outbreak and that's it. Or maybe you get them far and few, you know, maybe you had them as a kid and you haven't had them since.
How are we getting cold sores as a kid?
So it's very common for it to be passed from parents to kids, or grandparents. You know, you kiss your kid, you share with your kid,
I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. That is something I never would have thought. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is so many people are like, well, I don't have the bad kind. I got it from my mom, or I got it from my grandma. I got it from my dad. I got it from my cousin, or all my cousins. We all have this. I don't have the bad kind. I have the good kind. And there really is no bad or good because if you have oral herpes, you can transmit it genitally to your partner by going down on them. So even though you don't have what's considered the STD, because you have it on your mouth, still, if you have oral sex, it can be transmitted via oral sex to your partner. And then,
so does it then become HSV2 because it's...
So great question. So HSV1 will never become HSV2. HSV2 will never become HSV1. We've kind of coined these names as oral and genital. So HSV1 oral can be transmitted to HSV1 genital.
Okay. Are the symptoms the same?
Symptoms are the same. And the person would just then have it genitally. Same thing. Okay. HSV2 genital can be transmitted to HSV2 oral.
And the symptoms would be the same. So.
Yeah, I see you thinking.
Yeah. So if you have oral herpes and you give your, and you eat pussy, whatever. Suck dick, whatever, that same strain will just be on their genitals.
Correct.
With the same symptoms that you might have for oral herpes.
Correct.
And vice versa.
Correct.
But the only way to know which one it is to have an outbreak or to be tested or a blood test or what?
Correct.
What,
yes.
All of that.
All of that. So what's very interesting is up until about 40, 45 years ago, we didn't have the technology to know the difference between type 1, type 2. We just, it was just herpes. You either, you had oral herpes or you had genital herpes. You had one or the other.
Okay.
Now, because we have more powerful technology, we're able to look at the viral DNA and say, oh, it's slightly different. So there's type one, which again is most typically associated with oral herpes. And it's much more common just because we do more things with our mouth. And I don't mean that necessarily sexually. I just mean, like, as I mentioned, kids, you share with your parents, or, you know, we certain cultures kiss when they say hello. I mean, our mouths are exposed. So it's much more common to transmit oral herpes. You share a cigarette, you share a beer, whatever it is.
It could be on a cigarette or a beer. Yep. I thought I knew everything. Okay. Hold on.
But I want to clarify. So I'll get into the transmission in a second. So
because it has to be active to be transmitted. Is that
pretty? Yes.
For the most part.
For the most part. Right.
Okay.
And so now we know that there's two types. There's type 1, type 2. And now, because we're doing testing, we weren't really doing testing. We were just doing clinical diagnosis, which is like, you look at it and go, oh, you have it up on your mouth. Okay. You have oral herpes. Oh, you have it down there. You have it on your genitals. You have genital herpes. And so it was just coined one or the other.
Sure.
But for example, back, I don't know about you, but I can remember being a little girl and my dentist didn't use gloves when I was little. And I'm sure your dentist didn't use gloves when you were little. And
I don't remember. I'm so much older than you.
Well, I'm in my 40s. So
I'm about to be your mother almost.
Dentists actually ended up with herpes on their fingers. A lot of dentists have that. It's called herpetic whitlow. You can still develop herpes on your fingers. It's not very common. Most people don't get it there.
But it's not like a wart.
Nope. It's a herpes outbreak.
That's a whole different.
Correct.
Virus? Are warts viruses?
Yes. A wart is a different virus.
Yeah, it's a whole different virus. Okay. All right. Interessante.
Yes.
What does that mean? Okay. All right. I got to ask.
I know you're just,
So if you have oral herpes, and you mess with your outbreak.
On your mouth.
You could possibly transfer it to your fingers.
You could. Okay, so here's how it can transfer. So again, we normally associate oral meaning our mouth,
and
genital meaning our genitals. Now, if you look at the skin on our lips and our genitals, that skin is very tissuey. It's very stretchy. It's different than the rest of the skin on our body.
Sure.
the virus prefers that skin for whatever reason. It's very tissue. It just prefers that. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to want to go to other body parts.
Right.
But if you give it the opportunity to go to other body parts, it will. So I'm a mom. And if I, let's say I had an oral outbreak and my little boy came to me with a scraped knee and he said, "Mommy, will you kiss my knee?" And let's say I kissed his knee with a active cold sore on my mouth, it would potentially then transmit to my son to his knee. Oh. If he didn't already have it. So if he hadn't been, didn't have the antibodies for it.
Sure.
So for a lot of people, we have this idea of genital herpes being just on the genitals, like, so whether it's your vagina, your penis, your ball, whatever. Sure. However, it can really be anywhere in that boxer region. So we have people that get it on their hamstring. We have people that get it on their butt. We have people that get it below their belly button because it's skin to skin transmission. So when you have sex, all those areas are exposed.
Right. If you're not, unless you're, you know, having sex in the closet with all your clothes on. Not that I'm suggesting people do or have.
Right. No, it's not fun. And also herpes lives in our nervous system. It also travels along our nerves.
That I knew. I knew that.
So our nerves are like fingers.
Right.
So I can use myself as an example. I have genital HSV2. And when I got my original outbreak, it was around the vaginal opening.
Okay.
Now, because again, it travels around along the nerves. I now get my outbreaks in two spots. I get them around my anal opening and on my tailbone. It's just
and on your tailbone. Mm-hmm. Interesante. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we could transfer it to any place on the body, but the skin that seems more is the word permeable, right?
Sure.
Is the word more, like lips and the lips of the vagina, the anus. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, inside it, you know, everything has a mucous membrane. So it's, you know, things get absorbed much more quickly in that area into the bloodstream. So I could see how it could get transferred. I wonder, of course, we have no way of knowing. We can't say the virus, why are you traveling up and down the spine? You know, it's like, because all viruses do different things, right? I mean, even when we were looking at the COVID virus and how it was acting, or the flu virus and how it acted, you're like, it's doing what? Or the HIV virus, right?
Right.
And how those things act. So
they get smart.
Yeah.
You know, they have to procreate, they want to survive. And so they get smart. And so if you give the virus an opportunity to go to your elbow, for example, and if it's like, it's my only way to go somewhere, I'm going to go there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So back to transmission, because you asked about a cigarette and things like that. So it's skin to skin. It definitely is skin to skin. However, it's obviously much more, again, I mentioned we use our mouths more. Our mouths are exposed.
Sure.
And so let's say, so I've talked to so many girls that are like, I was in like sorority or dance, or whatever, thought nothing of putting on a friend's lipstick. You know, you're all in the college dorm.
Sure.
Someone has a cold sore. They put it on, give it to the next girl, and boom, they all end up with it.
Wow.
Or, hey, can I borrow your chapstick? Yeah, sure. And you know, you think like kids, they don't know, or they're not thinking, or we don't realize. Or you pick up the juice box. You know, you're a kid, you pick up someone else's juice box or whatever it is. So if it's active, and then you just transmit it.
Right. So it does have to be active. Okay. So
here's one.
Oh God.
This is the one I know. This is the one nobody likes to hear. And
what? Tell me.
It's called viral shedding.
Yes.
So obviously we know we're contagious when we have an active outbreak. Like that's the obvious one.
Right.
But the virus can shed without us knowing. So most of the time it's asymptomatic, meaning the host doesn't know that it's happening. So just like anything else, you know, trees drop their leaves. If I put my hands in my hair, I just took a shower, you know, hair came out in the shower, all that we shed, the virus wants to do the exact same thing. And so it comes out of the dormancy in our spinal cord.
Okay.
And it pops up to the surface of the skin wherever you're contagious. So in my case, it might be my tailbone, might be my anal opening. I don't know where it goes. You don't know when it's happening.
Sure.
So you can also transmit it without an active outbreak because you are contagious at that point.
Okay. So I read that and I read at some point somewhere that the shedding lessens over the years that you are, I almost said contaminated, not contaminated. right. over the shedding lessons over the years that you have the virus.
Correct.
I'm assuming for the, because it's like, I found a home here.
Yeah. It kind of burns out, you know, it kind of dies out. It's not as active in your body. You know, in the beginning, it's this huge war between your immune system and the herpes right. virus.
And it's doing whatever it can to live.
Yes. Right. So, lots of good questions.
Do you believe, do you believe that people are more susceptible with a weakened immune system to getting
absolutely
any virus, let alone herpes, but we're going to talk about herpes per se. Mm-hmm. And so that, so yes, you believe that, that, so that, I mean, that applies to any virus, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we saw a lot of that with COVID. People who were not as healthy suffered more
right.
with other conditions suffered more. So I also know, so my background is in holistic aromatherapy. So I did the whole organic chemistry thing, yada, yada, yada. Right. And so, I know, and then me starting to travel in this over the last few years in this community of swingers and people who are lots of sexually active people. And I'm like, I need to keep my, not only just because I'm off and on planes and in and out of the country, I need to keep my immune system just high in general because I'm talking and touching, you know,
yeah.
I'm not having sex with everybody, but people who are having sex with everybody are coming to see me at my table. They're coming to my seminars. People are hugging me.
Right.
I keep on lots of lips and go, no, just this.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the lipstick. So I, you know, cause I love to kiss on the mouth and I'm like,
yep,
right there. So I've been fortunate, lucky, but I, you know, always with vitamin D, always keeping up with my L-lysine. Before I discovered that L-lysine, okay. I'll let you do it. You tell the part. So let's talk about foods
that
could trigger outbreaks.
Well, on that, just for me personally. So I have both types. I have type one and type two. Type one, I was 20 years old. I went on a date. My date kissed me. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was 20. I was still very young and naive. Sure. And to have a date kiss, I wasn't ready for the kiss. Like it wasn't a thing. We weren't there in our relationship right. And to be, so anyways, he kissed me with a cold sore. And I remember yes. stepping like, whoa, like, and he just went in for it. And you know, 2 days later, boom.
No.
Uh-huh.
He choked the shit out of him. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to, you know, stigmatize.
Yeah, I was pissed. And then genitally, my partner didn't have an outbreak, but I was 28. And speaking of low immune system, I had awful acne. So I was on antibiotics for that, which just ruined me.
Sure.
Back-to-back antibiotics. I had back-to-back BV. I had back-to-back yeast infection. I had back-to-back bladder infection. So like,
oh, yeah.
I was either on antifungal or I was on so much stuff that my immune system was shot. And so for me yeah. to come in contact with someone that didn't even have an outbreak, my body couldn't handle it.
Sure.
So yes, we all, 90% of the population will come in contact with the HSV virus. Mm-hmm, it's just mm-hmm. a matter of, is your body weak that day? Mm. Is your immune system weak? Did you pick it up that day? Because it's statistically impossible. Like I have it, my husband doesn't, right? We have sex. I kiss him. We share a glass of wine. Whatever, we share a burger, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. Mm. So that's just a perfect example of keeping your immune system strong and how it really does. That's basically your number one barrier.
Your best defense. Mm-hmm. And knowing as much as you can about your partner.
Right.
You know, and I know one thing that I know people who are monogamous who know that I'm working in this industry, you know, they're like, well, how is everybody not just getting, you know, all of these fucking diseases? And I'm like, well, one, people test regularly mm-hmm. and you have more couples than you have single people, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest fears is giving your spouse something. Mm-hmm. So people are testing regularly. People are, you know, and what really, this sounds weird, but people tend to have sex with the same group of people, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. They might be a group, but they tend to,
it's yeah, very familiar.
Yeah, they tend to be with the same 6 or 7 or 8 people mm-hmm. in that group, you know, and every mm-hmm. now and again, they may like, let's go on a cruise, and we might find 1 or 2 new people who they bring into the group. So they, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's an interesting community that I found, but my people, and, yeah. but they are more likely to get tested on a regular basis because of the risk.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's, I've talked to lots of different communities that are in open marriages or non-monogamous mm-hmm. or sure. polyamory or whatever it may be. Sure. And one of the things that I truly admire is the conversation, the openness, the boundaries, yeah. Opposed to, you know, being in your 20s or 30s or whatever age you are and going out to the bars and having a one night stand or even.
Right. And not even using condoms in because you don't want your partner to know that you did something. So you don't want to buy the condom. Like, God, I mean, God, what if you don't have $5 for condoms? Come on.
Right. But right. right. Exactly. And so it's just that the conversations and knowing that like, hey, I'm aware that I am potentially practicing or acting in a way that could invite something, you know, like I said, an STD, an STI, I'm aware of this. And so therefore I'm going to take extra boundaries opposed to right. the person that thinks, well, I just met this person and I really like them. And I've been dating them for 3 weeks and there's no way this person has an STD.
Right. You know, like it's okay. the most asinine conversation to have with yourself or even, you know, some people I know who, you know, see a guy once a year when yeah. he's in town. I'm like, and you haven't seen this man in
a year,
not a year. And
right.
I mean, you miss each other, but you're not going to say, right. put on a condom. I mean,
or I use the example, you would never go to, you know, like those dive bars, you know, mm. and you would never go and someone's eating like a big piece of pizza and you would never go up to a stranger and be like, can I have a bite of your pizza? And like
your pizza that you just took a bite out of.
Yeah. Like someone you don't know, like you had a, right. you know, you would never do that and go like, can I have a bite of your pizza? Yet you would sleep with that person without a condom.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Or have oral sex without a condom or right. like just like, just, that's but, not any better.
Just that's not any better. That's not any better. But just, even just asking, just saying, hey, it's been a while since I've seen you. I miss you. I know you're coming to see me. Bring your test.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've said to my partners, like, listen, I haven't seen you in 7, 8, 9 months because I live someplace else. You live someplace else. I haven't had sex since the last time I saw you. Oh, good. Then get a test.
Right.
You can pop in any fucking clinic right now and get a test for damn it for free. You're done in 10 minutes.
Right.
Or now, pay for it.
right. Now here's something important to understand. Herpes, HSV is not included on the STI panel.
So yes, I know. You have to ask for it.
You have to ask for it. So you have many yeah. people that are like, here I am. Here's my test results. They're negative. We're good. But unless HSV, herpes,
yeah.
is included in it, you specifically have yeah. to ask. You can't yeah. just say, hey, test me for everything. You have to right. say. So there's a lot. So yeah. for example, in my particular situation, the guy I was dating, he's like, I got tested. It was negative. He turns out he never was tested for herpes. So he had no idea.
Yeah. I had to eventually come out to my doctor because every 6 months I was going in for a test and she knew my husband had a vasectomy. And she was like, and I didn't want her to think I was cheating. I'd rather just come out that we were open yeah. and that I had partners than for her to think that I was cheating
right, right.
on my husband. Cause like, I am not a fucking cheater, you know?
Right.
And he's not cheating on me either. And I finally could, cause every time I would go in, I would say, hey, yeah. So I'd like to get a full STI panel and that, you know, the herpes, everything. And she never questioned it. She's like, okay. But I'm like, after like a couple of years, I'm like, I just want to let you know, that we have an open relationship. And she was like, oh, no problem. And then she wrote something like, you know, as a non-monogamous, I said, just put slut on the damn thing. Why don't she? I don't just want to write. She's a slut.
That's so funny.
Say that. She didn't. She was really, really good. But I would be more appalled for someone to think that I was cheating.
Right.
And other people would rather that. And I don't know why, but I'm like, no, nobody's cheating. We're all good here. So I do want to talk about things that can cause
oh, yes.
an outbreak. Mm-hmm. Food, do tell.
Yeah. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up because there are, so for some people, they'll be like, I don't even know I have this. I never had an outbreak. Great. Your body, immune system, whatever you're doing is working. And I can use that example for me for HSV-1. I got it when I was 20, mm-hmm. had my first outbreak and didn't have my second outbreak till I was 34.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't an issue. Nothing triggered it. I was in my 20s. I was in college. I was traveling, you know, all fine.
Sure.
But HSV-2 has been very different and really anything can spark it or has sparked it for me.
Okay.
So there's things the virus loves stress. Anytime you're stressed and I want to talk like the adrenaline, like that when you're like up and you're
bad stress, not good stress.
It doesn't matter. Good stress, because your body doesn't know the difference. If it's good stress, bad stress, it's still stress on the body. Mm-hmm, but like, mm-hmm. I'm talking like adrenaline pumping through your veins. For me, mm-hmm. it's a guaranteed outbreak.
Okay.
If you're not sleeping, so you do a girl's trip and you're in Vegas for the weekend or a guy's trip, whatever. You're up, you're drinking, you're not sleeping.
Not eating right.
Not eating right. You know, all that. Yeah, that can cause an outbreak. So if I have a couple nights of bad sleep, that can trigger it for me.
Okay.
For some people. So for me, a lot of times travel, if I'm, you know, just the time zone or the, like, not that I'm stressed to travel, but you know, you got, do I have my charger? Do I have, you know, all that stuff to get airport. And you know, if I travel international, if I go to Europe, a lot of times I get off the flight and I'm like, oh, there it is. I feel it. So, a lot of times just any type of stress or something that's abnormal on the body can do that.
Okay.
The next thing would be food. So you're talking about L-lysine and there's L-arginine. So arginine and lysine are essential amino acids, meaning they're essential. They're protein. We need them. They're the building blocks of our body. We have to get them from foods we consume. We can't avoid them or not have them. So arginine loves, it's like lighter fluid for the herpes virus. It fuels it.
Wow.
And the herpes virus replicates with it and just absolutely is like, let's go. So what arginine is good for is it's good for cardiovascular health. It's good for vascular health. You'll have a lot of men taking it instead of Viagra. It improves our athletic performance. So you'll have a lot of athletes taking it. It's also in a lot of our proteins. So if you take like protein supplements or pre-workout or anything like that, it's added to it. Cause again, it improves athletic performance. So that is something you want to watch. And again, some people may not trigger it whatsoever. Some people may be like, I can't even like, nope, can't even do that. And it just triggers it. On the flip side is L-lysine. And that is like a fire extinguisher for the herpes virus. It blocks the replication. The herpes virus does not like it. It shies away from it. So what lysine is good for, it's good for our tendons. Mm-hmm. It's good for helping our body metabolize certain nutrients and minerals, collagen, things of that nature. And so what you can do is you can either supplement your diet with supplements, lysine supplements, or you can have high lysine foods. So again, we can't not have arginine, but foods that are high in arginine, I always like to say they're the good ones. Coffee bean. So not just, it's not caffeine, but the bean. So whether decaf, regular, the bean, chocolate. Peanuts are high. So like a peanut butter, like a peanut butter cup.
I don't like peanuts or peanut butters. Not that I'm worried about it either, but yay.
My great grandma used to make this amazing like peanut butter fudge. And I'm like, so good, but nope. So peanuts, coconut. So not the water and not the oil, but the meat or the milk. So coconut meat and milk is very high in arginine. And other nuts are very high in arginine.
All right.
So again, that can be, so some people may go, you know what? I can't touch a cashew, but I can touch an almond. Or they might say, I can't get near a pistachio, but I can have a whatever. It's just things to look at and try. So those are just kind of the biggies. On the flip side, things that are high in lysine are dairy, are fish, shellfish, potatoes, lean proteins. So I've found that just if you eat a clean diet, stay away from processed foods, seed right. oils. You know, you eat a clean, healthy diet with
sure.
healthy meats, yeah. organic, you know, all that.
Right.
You're going to get a pretty balanced diet and your body's not going to be stressed because it's trying to, you know, push a brick through your intestines, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that there's that part.
Right.
So, you know, where else, arginine shows up that a lot of people don't know mm-hmm. is in, organic, sexual stimulants for the vagina and for the penis. Mm-hmm. And I'm very careful not to carry them. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to, because the arginine, as you said, it's a vasodilator, the blood vessel. Mm-hmm. So you will find it, there's been a couple of CBD lubricants, CBD stimulating serums that have come on the market. Mm-hmm. And the companies are like, oh, you should carry this on your website. And I'm like, it's got L-arginine in it. And that could possibly cause an outbreak because yes. you're putting it right on your vagina, yep. your clitoris, your asshole, what, yep. you know, your penis.
Whatever.
And they're like, well, this one company, which I will not name, they were like, well, we have a disclaimer on there. I'm like, who's going to read that little tiny shit on the box? They're trying to have sex here. They're not going right. to read that little tiny disclaimer. And they've already purchased it and you don't have it. And you don't have it on your website. You know, they didn't have the ingredients on the website listing the L-arginine. And I won't carry it. And so anytime I get a new company that's saying, hey, you should carry our stuff, I need to see the ingredients, what's in it. Because most laymen are not looking at the ingredients in their lubricants, their condoms, their, you know, and I'm like, that this is why you're having outbreaks. You don't even, you wouldn't even, if they don't know that much about herpes, they wouldn't even attach the L-arginine factor into right. why they're breaking out. They just keep realizing they're breaking out and they may not even make the connection. And right. there are other companies that do know that. Sliquid is one, and they say, we don't have L-arginine, you know, no parabens, because they know that the L-arginine could have that effect, which is why I love Sliquid. Because there are other things that can act as a vasodilator that does the same thing, cinnamon, CBD, menthol, you know, there are other things, you know, peppermint that can also
yeah.
open up the, you know, to bring more blood to that area. So yeah, I'm real careful not to carry those things on my website or to inform clients when I'm doing my seminars that you could get an outbreak from your lube.
Yeah. And people may not realize, so like, I didn't realize I was, you know, just getting my smoothie and they asked another, you know, want to add a dollar for another protein shot? Sure, add the protein shot in there. And they don't realize that may be causing, do you want to add peanut butter? Yeah, peanut butter's great. Add peanut butter to my smoothie.
Because they don't realize what foods are high in arginine because they mm-hmm. haven't done, all they know is I get cold sores every now and again, but not, you know, this is the thing about holistic health. We have to look at your whole everything. Body. Mm-hmm. You know, and not just the symptom, right? So you have this outbreak or you feel like you're going to have an outbreak. So you buy whatever over-the-counter stuff that deals with the symptom, right?
Right.
As opposed to what can I do to not have the outbreak by reducing the foods that have the L-arginine, right. by getting more sleep, so dealing with the whole body, because you know, that's going to kick off the outbreak. So what do I, the L-lysine supplements, right? Increasing your L-lysine when you feel an outbreak coming on so that it never
manifests.
Absolutely. Manifest. Thank you. Yeah, so that it never manifests. Yeah. Yeah.
And like you said, you know, what I was saying is I was at 28 when I got genital herpes, you know, I thought I was healthy, yet I trusted my doctor. Oh, you have acne? Oh, okay. Well, you should go on birth control. And I'm like, I don't want to be on birth control. I just got off birth control. And they're like, well, here's a prescription for your acne. And so it was like prescription, opposed to, and that's why I truly believe I got herpes is because my immune system was so shot. We were treating the problem, the symptom of the root.
Acne, right? As not to the why, root of, why do you keep getting? Acne? My son had really bad acne. To the doctor, this, that, and then finally, he was a late teen when, what was it called?
Accutane?
No, the book. I think it was Whole 30 that came out, And so Whole 30 came out, and it was 30 days of eliminating things that cause digestive issues, outbreaks with the skin, diarrhea.
Cleared it right up.
He took off. So you had to, for 30 days, not have dairy, alcohol, addiction was the other thing, sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Like added sugar. Shit, it was like five things. Legumes, beans, mm-hmm. like legumes, and something else. But anyway, he took everything away. And, you know, and I took everything away. I was fine. Nothing changed with my body, right? Brought everything back. Nothing changed. My husband at the time, when he took away the dairy, he stopped snoring because the dairy causes mucus.
Yep.
So I got my son to do it. I said, you just do it just to see, you know, you're healthy and whatever. His acne cleared up. He could literally have a dollop in his milk and he will break out to this day.
Really?
He would break out in acne, just a dollop. Like, so he switched to plant-based milk, but never made the connection for a long time that it might be.
And exactly, like these little things, like we don't realize it's a cute, okay, we'll just mask it, we'll mask it, we'll mask it. Like I haven't had a yeast infection. I haven't had BV. Right. I haven't had any of that since I got herpes and I thought enough with prescriptions, enough, like, let me start. I started going to acupuncture.
Yeah.
And it was the first step of, okay, let's clear this out. And I just, each year I've gotten cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Yes. And I'm this morning to my husband, I'm like, you know, I think I want to be a homesteader. And he's like, who are you? Like, I'm ready to live off the farm.
Wait, we're doing what now?
He's like, what are we doing?
Just a minute.
You know, like I make everything now. And like, I'm like, I'm going to start making butter. And he's like, who are you?
Oh my God. Listen, I understand this. So before I had my organic skincare, before I had the organic loving where I'm doing organic intimate body products, I had an organic skincare company for elite endurance athletes.
Okay.
And I started making like initially like body butter for the kids and which grew into a business, which started, then I did my first marathon, then I started doing something for athlete skin. And I ended up with a line of like 16 products. My mother's like, why are you making all this stuff? I'm like, if I figure out how to make deodorant, it is on, you know?
Right.
Why are you? So I was like, we never test on animals, only children and husbands, you know, like, does that burn? Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you going to survive? You're fine. Right.
Kids and my ex-husband were like, are you okay? Does that burn? Are you okay? Like, oh, not the animals, you know? But no, I totally understand that. And there is, if people would just look, you know, as you suggest and as I suggest, holistically at their whole body, that they would be able to kind of, you know, I want to say get through, survive everything, but kind of get through and survive a lot of it. I don't know. I did get a bout of COVID, which because I was healthy when I did get it, but my partner's partner was a holistic doctor and we reached out to her first. We hadn't even had symptoms, but we weren't hanging out at the resort when we should have been home. We were like, fuck it. We were down in Jamaica somewhere and hanging out with a bunch of people. And well, you know, COVID.
There you go.
And she was like, you don't have any. And this is before the tests. This is when the tests were, this was like November, 2020. The tests were still taking almost a week to come back.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And so she was like, you get home tomorrow. She said, the first thing you do is go to the grocery store, pick up some, green apples and oranges. And I want you to make a smoothie every morning with the green apples and the oranges, right? 8 ounces, have that every day. I want you to take Tylenol 3 times a day. I don't care if you have a symptom or you don't have a symptom. And then double up on all of your supplements. Cause we both were taking, you know, D and we were already working out, taking, you know, protein and, you know, I've been plant-based for a while at that point. And and she said, don't wait for your test. Just do this. She said, most people wait the 5 days and the virus has a chance to take hold.
Right.
But if you start fighting it ahead of time with Tylenol and with the sourness of the green apples and the oranges, I don't know why we just followed her directions. He never even got really any, he got like a little bit of a temperature and only one day out of the 3 days that I supposedly had it, I had to lay down one day. That was like,
right.
But it was the mildest of the mild. But, you know, 3 weeks later, I got a bout of colonitis because we were at some waterfall and I took a sip of that beautiful clean water.
Oh.
And I brought that lovely bacteria home with me.
Oh.
From Jamaica. It was in the mountains. We weren't even near the tourists. It was beautifully clear. It was the most beautiful waterfall water. It tasted like nothing, but anytime you go to a different country, that bacteria doesn't, it's just different bacteria, right. Not even bad, just different.
You don't know it. Right.
Yeah. And my body was like, well, that's interesting. Lay down, go to the hospital. They had to put me on morphine. The pain was so bad. It was worse than the COVID. The COVID was like,
nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. But this was horrific. And then they wanted to put me on drugs. For the colonitis, and I called my holistic practitioner. She said, don't you take that shit. She said, it's not going to be good. And she told me to take 750 milligrams of turmeric a day and some digestive enzymes. I've had no problem in 2 years.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's so many ways around it and not to bash on modern medicine. There's times,
it's purpose. Yes.
We need it. But there's times it's like, I didn't need to be on acne medication.
No.
You know, I needed to change my diet I thought I was healthy. I wasn't not healthy. Yeah. All those things. So I would say if, you know, you're dealing with herpes or you're getting multiple outbreaks, I would do what you can to educate yourself on it and find, we all have these ideas or preconceived notions of what it is, what it isn't, but do some digging to see what may be causing your outbreaks. Maybe you need to keep a food journal. You know, sometimes nightshades can trigger it for people because it has the inflammation in your body. Like for some reason, eggplant for me, like not Japanese eggplant, but like eggplant. Apparently eggplant. My body doesn't like it. I love eggplant. I can't get enough of it, but my body doesn't like it.
Okay.
It triggers outbreaks for me.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is eggplant high in arginine?
No, I don't think so.
Just whatever enzyme is in that eggplant, your body's like, fuck you.
My tongue is always like tingling after I eat it. Like I'm obviously allergic to it or something.
Yeah. You may have an allergy to some component of the eggplant, but there's Japanese eggplant.
There we go. Gotta go to the Japanese eggplant.
there that is. Well, Alexandra, our time is coming to an end and this has been so good. And I went to your YouTube channel and I saw all of these videos. Oh my God, she's got every question answered. And I am so happy to be able to share this with my audience because people need to know how to take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You got to know how to take care of yourself and not, like I said, modern medicine has it's because isn't there something that they want you to take?
So it's called Valtrex. And so Valtrex is the prescribed drug. It's the antiviral. And there's some generic, it's valacyclovir, acyclovir. And it does do a very good job of keeping the virus dormant in your body. However, long-term use can, you know, have some kidney issues, you know, because it can be hard on your body. So there's lots of people that will take it for their life. There's other people that won't touch it. I took it for 3 years in my 20s because I thought that was the right thing to do. I no longer take it. I did take it upon delivery of my son.
Okay.
In order to have a vaginal delivery to ensure that I didn't get an outbreak, I did take it.
Okay.
But I didn't take it during my pregnancy. They're like, you could take it during your pregnancy. I'm like,
taking that shit.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't eat a turkey sandwich. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to take this, you know?
Turkey?
You can't have deli meats when you're pregnant. There's like bacteria on deli
meats. It's been so long since I've been pregnant. I probably knew that then. Yeah. Well, deli meat is just shitty anyway. Yeah, it's just, you shouldn't eat deli meat, pregnant or not. Don't even give it to your dog. It's just shitty because it's got so many chemicals in it. Oh my God.
I know.
I swear to gosh, I really think there's something in the food that people are losing their fucking mind in the United States. I'm telling you. I'm just like, it's something in the food, and not that everybody should be plant-based, but you gotta stay away from the chemicals. And there's just some things we can't control. And we don't know what's in the water. We don't know what's in the air. But what you put, right. I tell people, what you put in your mouth, what you put on your body,
right.
you have some control of that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's cute. My 24-year-old cousin just moved in with me, and I really do my best to be healthy. I make breads. I make,
sure.
you know, I buy raw milk. Come to my house. And she's been here a month, and she goes, oh my gosh, like my period this time was great. Like I didn't have any cramps. I wasn't a bitch. Like, and she goes, my whole life I've been in pain, or it's been like bloody murder. It's light. I'm carefree. And I was like, see, it's the food. And she's changed her diet since she's
been with
us. And it's just, I'm all about that. Like I said, next time I may be on a farm with a cow. Who knows?
Yeah, people just need to, you know, I met a online guy who's, personal trainer, and you can't tell him that keto is not the way. And you can't, he's like, tell me the science of plant-based. There's no science behind it. I'm like, do your research. I'm like, okay. I said, if you let that meat go, your dick would be harder, I bet you. Because meat and dairy causes inflammation, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and not the good kind.
Right, right.
And trying to tell some men listen, they're like, really? It'll be better? Yes. And they're like, let go of the meat. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, telling you. But some right. men, you know, I'm not trying to convince the men that are not mine. So he ain't mine. So it doesn't matter. I don't want to fight. Do what you want. You know, right. Do what you want. It's totally okay. Girl, well, listen, I'm thanking you so much for being here today. You are a wealth of information. And I am so glad that you accepted this mission.
Yes.
You know,
You don't set out. You're like, I want to be a herpes advocate. Like that's not what happened. But I just realized that there's so much, I really was in a down gray area of my life, and I was Eeyore, and I had a rain cloud over me everywhere I went. Aww. And I thought, I can't stay here, and I have to get out and share this information. So that's what I've done.
Well, listen to my audience. If you want to stay up with Alexandra, her website, her Instagram, her TikTok, and her YouTube is Life with Herpes. Her personal Instagram is her name, Alexandra Habushka.
And mommy photos there.
Lots of mommy photos there, but I will definitely make sure that all the links will be in the show notes. And of course, to stay up to date with Sisters of Sexuality, you can find us at our website. And of course, if you have any questions for me or my guests, you can email me at sistersofsexuality@gmail.com and find us, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And be sure to visit our sponsor, organiclovin.com, for all of your organic intimate body needs, sex and relationship courses, and coaching. And if you like this episode, leave us a review, like, share, and subscribe. And until next week, stay sexy. Bye-bye.